Thank you, Charles. I appreciate that. You know, as you go through life, there are some things that you'll never forget. They'll always stick with you. And there are some things about Tennessee Temple that'll always stick in my mind. The first time I heard Miss Ella Herman sing, I'll never forget that one. And the old ladies trio, Dr. Faulkner, or Dr. Robertson, beautiful. I love to hear that old group sing. I wish I could have some tapes of that now and hear that. Dr. Charles Weigel coming to the platform and singing. Never forget that. The big missions conferences. Hundreds of missionaries from around the world. I'll never forget that. But one thing about Tennessee Temple and Dr. Robertson that I personally will never forget as being a young pastor in my early 20s and going back to my home church and opening it up. It had been closed for 4 years. And went back to open the thing up, and my wife remembers this. We went back with 5 people in Sunday school one Sunday morning and 18 people our first service out in the country on a dirt road up above Dayton, Tennessee. We were there for just a few years, just a young preacher in our early 20s, and trying to build a church. And I felt impressed to ask Dr. Robertson to come and preach for me. And, of course, you're 20-something years old, and you think about Dr. Robertson, who preached to 10,000 people every Sunday, and I thought, I can't ask. He would never come up here. I can't ask him. And finally, I saw Dr. Faulkner out on the campus, and I said, Brother Faulkner, do you reckon Brother Robertson would come up to our church and preach? He said, he'll come. Ask him. He'll come. Never forget that. And that made me feel good. And so I had enough courage to ask Brother Robertson to come up to our church and preach to us on homecoming. I met him in Dayton, got in the car with him, because he had never found it. He had never found it. And I just want you to know that Brother Robertson's hadn't changed over these years. I think he's just the same as he was back when I first saw him back at Tennessee Temple in 1964. And I appreciate that. And you're about to hear tonight one of my heroes. And I love him and appreciate him, and I know many do. Dr. Robertson, come and preach to us. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. And when you're 87 years old, compliments sound good. 87 years old. And God bless you. Thank you. Someone's giving me a thank you, and God bless you, sir. And, Pastor, thank you for letting me come and be with you and praise God for you and for all you're doing. Thank God for you and your people, your Sunday school. I'm going to be praying for you and for all this work. I know it'll go on. I'm thanking God for you. Anybody here tonight, you were here last night, you came back tonight, you brought 5 or more with you, not here last night, would you raise your hand, please? 5 or more who were not here last night, you got them to come tonight? All right. Anybody bring 3 or 4 tonight who were not here last night? Raise your hand, please. Anybody 3 or 4? Bring anybody? All right. I see you're working hard. I can see that. All right. Anybody one or two tonight? 1 or 2. All right. One back. Stand up there, mister. Stand up there. Stand up, our lady. That's good. Stand up. Come on. Get up, lady. That's right. A picture of the back there. And maybe something to give away if you'd like to buy a book or something. And if you buy one book, we'll give you one tonight. I think she's giving away the book about Bible people. And so you check them. Do we have some of these left on that life story? A few of them. None left. All right. The book on the table. I hope you'll check that. Dr. Rice published that for me and my sermons, and this is coming out. He sold for $9.95, and thousands of minutes sold. I sold it for $5. That covered the cost of it to me. And he published a book on touching heaven, on prayer, and others here. The brand new one published out of Cincinnati. The Hallelujah Chorus is brand new, and that sells for, I believe, $9.95 on the back of it. I sold it for $5. And so check, this is the brand new one, the last one I've had put out, The Gold Mine. You'll enjoy that, and that's back there also. And that's for $5. Now, thank you a lot, and God bless you, and I appreciate all of it. Thank you so much, Pastor, and God bless you. And a joy to be with you, Pastor. Thank you for your kindness to me and your dear family and all of you. And Jimmy, thank you for your preaching. I believe in what he preached in, don't you? That's right. I never even take off my coat when I preach. No, I don't know. I got convictions on that. Fiddlestick. I wouldn't do that. That's immodest. And I wouldn't take my. I would, and I wouldn't wear red suspenders. Would you? Do you? That's worldly. Don't you think so? A little worldly. I think it is. Now I got a new sermon. I'm going to turn loose on this and get home. And I want to preach on men who wear red suspenders and preach with a coat off. And I'm going to say, no, I believe in modesty. And I'm going to give them the words. Oh, I'm kidding you, Jimmy. I'm kidding you. That I couldn't miss that. I couldn't miss that. After all you said tonight, I'll say amen to you, but I kind of work that in a little bit. All right. And a joy to be with you here in this. And my last time to be in this work and with you. And I thank God for every one of you. Sweetheart, will you stand up? My wife, dear wife, been married 118 years. That's not a joke. That's the truth. 59 for her and 59 for me. That's 118. That's right. And it'll soon be 122. And we keep on going. But a joy to be here. And thank you, every one of you, for your kindness. I'm going to be praying for you. I had the best man at a wedding in Louisville, Kentucky, my hometown. A young fellow called me and asked me to come and be the best man. That's why I drove to Louisville from down Tennessee, got up there to the church at the old Virginia Avenue Baptist Church and met the pastor back in the back door, back room. And got there and waited for the wedding. The building was packed and jammed with the people. The bride came to the door and stood there. 8 o'clock came and everything was set to go, but the bridegroom hadn't arrived. And this just way it happened. And so we waited, and he waited, and finally said, well, he's on his way, I know. So he came to the organ and said, go ahead and have the song. So they began. The solo was saying, two or three of them, I love you truly, and oh, promise me another song. And finished over 8:15, and he still wasn't there. The bride at the door, no bridegroom. And he came to the organ and said, keep on playing, ma'am, keep on playing. And she played on. 8:20 she played, and about 8:25 she quit altogether. And he rushed to her and said, ma'am, keep on playing, we're not ready yet. She said, I'm tired. And he quit. And the crowd sat there, big crowd of people, 1,000 people maybe, and sitting there, no one moving a muscle. And it was awful. It was terrible. Not a sound, no wedding going on, nothing going on. And the poor pastor named L.W. Benedict, a gracious man, he began pacing the floor back and forth, back and forth. And he finally saw about 8:30 and said, Brother Robertson, do me a favor. He said, this is awful. I know the boy's coming. I talked to him this afternoon. I know he's on his way, but what could have happened? He's had a wreck. Something happened. He said, would you go out and sing? I said, no, sir, I'm not going out there. The man there, they've had everything I've heard of now, and I'm not going to try to sing, not to that crowd. And he said, I wish you would, I wish you would. And he faced the voice some more, about 8:35, 8:40, came back in, he said, this is awful. He said, I'm going to have a heart attack. He said, I can't take this. He said, would you please go out, do something, just go out and sing for the people. And I said, well, preacher, I don't want to, but I'll do it, if you insist. And so I came out. Gave out the organist. I flipped that book open. I said, I'll sing that report and so on, gave it to her. I said, give me the chord, please, in A flat, and I'll sing that. And I walked over the platform. Great crowd of people there. Flowers all up like this, you know, decorate for a wedding. Wedding going to take place down here. But up here, they had the flowers and everything around. And I got up there to sing. And the wedding, 8:40, 8:45, late. And they'd have been just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. And the organist gave me a chord, just a chord. In A flat, and I got ready, and I sang. You know what I think I have to sing? With that wedding, 45 minutes late, I sang, I come to the garden alone. I sang exactly that much. I'm not joking. This actually happened. This happened. I sang that, and I closed the song book, and I got out of there. He said, boy, you sure did ruin that. He said, that's the worst I've ever seen in my life. And the crowd just stood up and cheered. They cheered. And I was never so embarrassed in all my days. Now, that actually happened in Louisville, Kentucky, my hometown, at the old Virginia Avenue Baptist Church, where I worked for 2 years as assistant pastor. And that's it. Now, I usually tell that and nothing else. I say, well, finish the story next time to come back. But I don't plan to come back, so I better tell you the rest of it. Well, I'm not joking about that. And I'm ready to go home whenever the Lord calls me. And I think this is my last time to be with you, so I'll just go ahead and finish it up. I don't want you to worry. So, and you would be worried all night, wouldn't you? Go and worry about that thing. Why was it late? Why was it late? Well, I'll tell you the end of the story, and this is it. This is actually it. The man getting married was named Elbert Gallagher. An amazing man. He had a memory that beat anything I've ever heard in my life. I watched him stand in an audience and quote chapters from the Bible and tell that my hand never missed a single word. On Labor Day, he quoted a poem 25 minutes long. I never heard a thing like that. Never missed. He had amazing memory. He was an expert. His mind beat all you've ever listened to in the world. And a gracious fellow, and as smart as a whip, and could do a lot of things, but his memory was the outstanding thing about him. And the people knew about it. Elbert, they loved him for it. They loved him for it. He could sing, he could preach, he could quote scripture, he could quote poetry, he could memorize things. I watched him one time take 50 people, 50 men he had never met before. Think of that, 50 men. had each one of his hand give his name. And he sat down. And he began and quoted every name exactly. 50 of them, never missed a one. Amazing memory, amazing memory. Ellie Gallagher. Now, why was he late for the wedding? He forgot the marriage license. He forgot the marriage license. No joking. He had driven from his home near West Point, Kentucky, into Louisville, and got there to the church and discovered he didn't have it, and went back to his home. He'd forgotten it. A man never forgot anything. He forgot the marriage license. And took an hour, half an hour to go and half an hour to get back from West Point, Kentucky, and made him 1 hour late for his wedding. I'm the best man at that wedding. All right, that's the story. And I'm all through with it now, so God bless your heart. Open your Bible up, please, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And beginning at verse 36, Matthew 9, 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now look back at verse 36. Take your pen or pencil and underscore the word compassion. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, Jesus, the Son of God, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. My friend, you're here tonight. Do you know why you're here? Explain by one word. The word is compassion. Now, isn't that strange? You're here tonight because of compassion. Every one of us, I'm here because of compassion. You're here. Yeah, you say, you know, I know all about you. You're here because of compassion. Number one, God loves you. Amen? That's compassion. Number two, Christ died for you. That's compassion. Amen? Number three, the Holy Spirit wooed you and convicted you of sin. That's compassion. Number four, someone told you about Christ. Not a one of you got saved by yourself. Somebody told you by radio, television, by personal contact, knocking on the door. Somebody. And you're here because of compassion. The whole thing explained by one word. And that's for all of us. And that's for everyone in this building and around the world who is saved. The same word goes. And the one word is compassion. Now I want you to hold that to your heart. And yet, my friend, today, this is a word that is missing in our present society. We have no compassion. There's none in Washington. There's none in New York City. There's none in London. And there's none in Jerusalem. I've been around the world. There's none. And we're missing in compassion. We have no love in our hearts. We're concerned about money and things and prominence and buildings and reputation, and not about compassion. And this is missing everywhere. And we should say, oh God, I want to be compassionate. I want to love God. I want to give my money. I want to live a life in compassion and love for others and for Christ and for heaven and for the glory of God. I have compassion. I want to do something for God. I was reading about J. Hudson Taylor, that great missionary to China. He went for the first time. They took him in a boat down one of the streets of China. And they saw a crowd of people on the lined up on the way on the side of the riverside, the little canal they were traveling on. And he saw people of thousands, Chinese people, thousands of them. And they say, Mr. J. Hudson Taylor, this first time missionary on the field, stood there and wept bitterly, cried like a baby, said, they're lost, they need Jesus. He had compassion. He spent a lifetime in China. And you should give your life to this great work of winning people to Christ. But we don't care today. This is a rough day. This is a tough day. A man walked down Market Street in Chattanooga. These fellows, they never know all about Market. And he stepped off the sidewalk of Market Street in Chattanooga into a parking lot to get his car. When he did so, two men jumped on him and beat him to the ground, kicked his face and stepped on his hands, did everything they could, and robbed him of every penny he had. He screamed for help. Help was 15 feet away. Chattanooga's busiest street, Walnut Street. And here in the parking lot, 15 feet away, and they put him on the ground. They kicked him, they cuffed him, they robbed him. They did all they could and left him, and he's lying there crying. And the policeman saw him and ran to him, called for the Erlanger Hospital to send an ambulance, so they sent and put him in the hospital. I went over to see him. I said, sir, I want to talk to you. I walked in the room.
That man had, he had his hands bandaged. His face was all covered with medicine, a various time color over those rough scars where it had been kicked and cuffed, and his whole appearance. And he was lying there. And I said, sir, would you tell me what happened? He told me just what I told you. And when he finished telling it, he looked at me and he said, Brother Robertson, let me ask you something. What's wrong with the world? I know what's wrong. The world doesn't care. People don't care. They don't care in your city. They don't care in my city. They don't care anywhere. They're away from God. They're following the devil. They're given over to satanic ideas. And the world doesn't care. They don't care outside. They don't care. People don't care. And the souls going to hell all around us, and they don't care. Now we've got to say, oh God, we care. And there must be compassion. We must have compassion, or we fail completely. A compassion for others. That'll change your giving. It'll change your living. It'll change your praying. It'll change all of it. Compassion. I wish I knew how to say it. I wish I could emphasize it like it should be. I know people so well. Man, I've been everywhere. I've been to the largest churches in America. Just finished preaching the last Wednesday at Hiles Anderson and the First Baptist in Hammond. Over 10,000 people in a prayer meeting. And I know folks, I meet them everywhere. But everywhere you go, the same thing is going. And they'll tell you anywhere. Today, people just don't care. They're careless. They're indifferent. They're unconcerned. And this is what we must do. We must have compassion. I remember my first touch with anyone with compassion. My first touch, the first thing I can think about. I was called to preach. At 18 years of age, at 20 years of age, I took my first church in Memphis, Tennessee. They paid me $50 a month. $50 a month. Total salary. Germantown Baptist, an old, old church. And I began preaching. I got a room to live in Snowden Circle, Memphis, a beautiful place, but up in the top attic, a little room that paid a few pennies for it, almost nothing. And $50 a month is all I had. I gave a tithe of that. I drove an old Ford car. And made my work. I kept my work. I loved it. I loved it. That's all I had. Had a little room up in the attic. I ate my meals in a hamburger stand. Hamburgers, nickel apiece. No joking. Anybody here remember that? There's not many of you. You do, lady. Nickel apiece. Nice hamburger. And I lived. But one day I discovered, I said, I can't make it. I did then what I do now. But I've got a need that I don't know how to face and handle. I get on knees and pray. And without fail, every time God answers. I said, Lord, you have to take care of it. I don't have the money. I haven't got it. I can't get along. $50 a month is not enough. I prayed one morning, got out of that bed in that little attic room, under the door, sticking an envelope, a white envelope. Nothing on the outside. I went up, inside the dollar bill. I said, boy, somebody remember me. I looked out the door of that little room in the attic. Nobody around, of course. And I said, man, this is it. I went out and ate two more hamburgers. I bought another gallon of gasoline. About 20 cents a gallon, you know. And I said, this is it. And I didn't say a thing. I thank God. Next morning, I got up, lo and behold, on the door, another envelope. And 22 mornings, I have a record of it. 22 mornings, I picked up a dollar bill every morning under the door. And I didn't want to say anything to anybody because I was afraid to stop. And I just kept on going. And finally, I said, I've got to thank the person. So I put a trap at the door. I said, if they touch that door, the trap will fall over. And I'll jump up and see if they put the money out of the door. I put the trap at the door, went to bed, and went to sleep in a little attic room. And around 2 in the morning, heard a rushing sound, my trap fell over. I jumped out of bed and jerked it over. When I did, at the door stood a little lady, short, up in years, 75 plus, had the envelope in her hand. Anyway, jerked it over, scared a little bit, and she said, son, here's your money. If you ever tell a soul, never give another penny. I said, I'll never tell a soul if that's the way you want it, if I'm going to get the money. And she handed me the dollar. Now, who was the lady? The lady was Mrs. Kate Barker, the wife of the president of the University of Kentucky. He passed away, Judge Henry Barker, known to all in Kentucky, president of the university. He died. She moved to Memphis with a sister, living downstairs. She heard about my being up there. Said, that boy needs help. And put a dollar on the door every night after midnight until I found her. And she kept on helping me.
I'm saying to you, my dear friend, compassion. We've got to care. And thank God that some do care. And thank God you care. And learn to care more. Pray for your church more. Pray for your pastor more. Pray for your work more. Just pray and have compassion. Number one, compassion, understand the need of man. Number one, compassion, understand the need of man. Man, the lost sinner. He's condemned, John 3:18. Condemned already. And the Word of God said, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We're lost, all men, Japanese, Chinese, German, Russian, American. All, you're lost without Christ. And if you're saved in one way by your faith in Jesus Christ. We're all saved the same way. But you're lost. And we got to see the lost condition of this world. A world of hatred, of bloodshed, immorality, worldliness, confusion. Over half the babies in America born out of wedlock. Did you get that? This is true from Washington. Over half the babies in America born out of wedlock. What a tragic day. What a wicked, wicked day. And we're living in all of this. And they're lost here in your city, every city. And the lost people without help. And we've got to care. We've got to have compassion. You say, but nothing happened. You have compassion anyway. You can't be Christ-like without it. And say, oh God, give me compassion. I want to love a soul. I had a deacon in my church in Chattanooga. Very wonderful man. Businessman. Traveled a lot. He was up in Toronto, Canada. Walking down the street. And I saw a man standing in front of a bank building in Toronto, Canada. And I've been there often. And he walked down the street and saw the man. He walked over to him and said, sir, are you a Christian? I said, no, I don't know anything about that. Oh, my deacon said, let me tell you about that. And recently he put a lot of gospel tracts. And sure, the fellow said, no, no, I don't want that. He said, I'm too busy. He said, give me the tract. And is your name on this? The deacon said, yes. He said, if I want to be saved, I'll call you. And he walked away. My deacon finished up and came home to Chattanooga. Went all around the business. And then one morning, phone rang. And a voice from the other said, sir, he said, I just want to talk to you. I'm the man you met up in Toronto, Canada on the street and gave me your tract with your name and telephone number on it. He said, a shame of mine. I do want to know how to be saved. And my deacon said, sit still, got my Bible here on my desk. I'll tell you how to be saved. He said, no, 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 I don't want that. I want it in person. He said, bring my wife down. He said, see you at 5:30. At 5:30, they arrived in by airplane in Chattanooga. My deacon met him. He put him in his car, drove him to his home, a short distance away, took his Bible, and met both of them to the Lord. Who are they? Mr. and Mrs. Nelson Blount. Multi-millionaires. I said, multi-millionaires. Wealthy beyond any estimation. And both of them got saved. Beautifully, wonderfully saved. Sunday morning came in church. You've been in the old church, you know. You know how the front row is out here? I'm up here in the pulpit. Right in the front row is sitting the deacon. By the deacon sat the two people. I said, they're the ones I heard about Mr. and Ms. Blount. I said, stand up, folks. And they stood up. I said, I understand you got saved on Friday night. He said, we sure did, the man. And walked out in front of the pulpit, in front of the church, and just stood there and started preaching. I mean, just got saved 2 days ago. And he just tore loose and let him have it. Boy, he told what it meant to be saved. And when he got through, he said, honey, you talk to him. And she came and talked the same way. Multi-millionaires. They sent the daughter to our school. They paid her a bill and a bill for many, many others. Many others. He gave money to the school, money to the missions. And became such a mission-minded man, he quit his work, all of it, and bought an airplane, began flying over America, telling people how to be saved. He got compassion, and he couldn't give enough. Nelson Blount died in a plane crash up in Vermont, in his own plane, made a miscalculation, struck the side of a mountain, was killed. They called me and asked me to have part in a funeral. I couldn't go. I wish you could have. But I'm trying to point out to you what it means. Now, put down this word, compassion, is understand the need of man. Number two, compassion is remembering what God has done for you. Now, remember, are you saved? That's a miracle. The greatest miracle in this world is regeneration. Greater than automobiles, television, electricity, airplanes, anything. Being born again. And if you're saved tonight, you have been in touch with the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of salvation. Now remember what God has done for you. And when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in. If you're saved, you have Him now. If you're not saved, you don't have Him. But if you're born again, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and you're a child of God. Now recall, remember what God has done for you. Now think of it, what God has done for you. Saving your eternal soul, your dirty, miserable, sinful soul. God saves you.
and you're on your way to heaven. Now remember that. And let that remembrance bring compassion to your heart and mind and stir you to be everything God wants you to be. Tell about it. Talk about it. Had a man who stayed in the Highland Park one Sunday morning, came down the aisle, a rough-looking preacher, dirty clothes and long, filthy hair. And he came down the front and said, I'm not a Christian. I said, you've got right in the right place. I said, deal down here. He knelt down the front bench. I led him to the Lord. And oh, he was so happy. Tears coming down his face through all his beard and dirt. And he said, preacher, I know I'm a child of God now. Thank God he saved me. Miserable sinner than I am. He saved my soul. And I said, God bless you. And I walked back on the pulpit. And I was up there preaching away and inviting folks to come down the aisle. Well, all of a sudden, I looked around there and saw the man back of me. I mean, on the platform, right up there, a long beard and tears showing down his face, and he walked over to me. He pulled me in the side. He said, preacher, let me talk to him. I can do him better than you can. That's what happened when you got saved. You want to tell somebody. And compassion is remembering what God has done for you through someone else. Everyone here tonight is here as a result of somebody else witnessing or someone doing something for you, preaching. Everyone. Number three, compassion is comprehending the love of Christ for a lost sinner. Compassion is comprehending the love of Christ for a lost sinner. See Christ talking to the sinful woman, John chapter 4. See Christ talking to Zacchaeus and leading him to salvation, Luke 19. See Christ dealing with a poor sinner as he died on the cross. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, God so loved the miserable lost world and comprehending. You've got to comprehend the love of Christ for a lost sinner, for men lost and undone. You're not worth a ding, not a dime. But God loves you, and God saved you when you were a sinner, a miserable sinner, and bought you and paid for you with the blood of His own Son who died on the cross in your behalf. Now, you love God and love soul. Have compassion and remember what God has done for you. I wonder if anybody here ever heard of the late George W. Truett, the great Baptist preacher of Texas. Remember, you've heard him. I knew him well. I loved him. We were good friends. I'd eat meals with him. The great, famous George W. Truett, pastor of the First Baptist in Dallas, Texas. And what a preacher. Never smiled, you know. Never smiled in the pulpit in 45 years. He killed a man accidentally. They were on a hunting trip. And a good friend of his, and with a gun in his hand, he tripped. And that gun shot through the body of a friend of his and killed him. From that day on, George W. Truett never smiled publicly. I never saw him smile in my life. Think of that. He'd go to church, tell funny things. He never smiled. He wasn't angry. He just sat there. And had compassion. Oh, he loved people. He had preached and people get saved. I watched him preach. Preached a little card, a little piece of paper, write his notes on there. Never went to seminary in his life, not a day in his life. And had little notes written on a little piece of paper and would preach for an hour and a half sometime. Oh, he preached a great mighty sermon on the steps of the White House in Washington, D.C. And many, many things. I can tell about George Truett. But the one thing that I recall most of all about him was a matter of his love for souls. He loved people. He loved to see people saved. I knew his daughter and her husband. He was a pastor in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I've been with them. I've talked to them about it. They told me about Daddy and George W. Truett, this mighty man of God, big fellow, snow white hair, and preached like a storm, like a tornado, giving up the message of Christ. In his advanced years, he became ill. They put him in a hospital in Dallas, and one of the upper rooms of the hospital, and they cared for him carefully, of course, you know that. And one night, he was left alone just to get his rest shortly before he died. And a nurse came walking down the hallway of Dallas Hospital. And she said, I better check on Dr. Truett. So she opened it up and looked inside. When she walked inside, he was standing at that window, that hospital room, overlooking all of Dallas. Standing there in his pajamas, just got out of the bed. Great, tall fellow. Been up in years, past 80. Had his hand outstretched. And she opened that door quietly and heard him cry, Oh, God, they're lost! I want to see people saved in Dallas. Oh, God, I cried. Oh, God, save a soul. And pleading and pleading. She closed her door and walked on down the way. I heard her give the testimony. The compassion of a man. Oh, how we need this so much. And how we should say, Oh, God, I want to see people saved, born again. I want to do my best to bring them to Christ. Compassion is comprehending the love of Christ for a lost sinner.
for you, for me, for all of us. But how unconcerned this world is. How little people care today. I'm out in Kansas City the other night. I finished preaching, went to the airport to get the plane. And I was sitting down in the seat in the airport, and a man sitting next to me reading newspaper. Nothing unusual about that. Midnight hour, past midnight. And he finished up and threw the thing down. And I had nothing to do, so I picked up the newspaper. And he had folded it over on page one, a little story he'd been reading. And here's showing a little boy, 4 years old, how to make his ABCs. He hadn't started school, of course. And showing him how to make his ABC. A little fellow was trying, but his little fingers and little mind wouldn't work right at four. And he wasn't doing too good. And the father walked in, looked down and saw what happened. He said, "Mother, let me show him how." And she got up and he sat down and took a pencil. Said, "Now, son, here's my ABC. And you made them big." And said, "Now, son, imitate your daddy. Do it like your daddy." And the little fellow tried and failed. The newspaper told the story. And he tried and said, "No, son, you're not doing it right." He said, "Let me show you again." And he showed him again. He said, "Now watch this, son, and do it carefully." And the boy took the pencil and failed again. And this time the father got out of his chair, reached down, took the boy by the hand, the arms, and raised him up in the air and threw him on the floor and banged on his body with his feet. And the newspaper said, "The boy's in the hospital with many broken bones, unconscious." And the father behind the bars in a jail. And accused of insanity in that moment. But what an awful story. I read that thought of this world, how people live without concern for others at all. That father's a picture of much of this world. People don't care. They don't care. Number four, compassion is an awareness of judgment. An awareness of judgment. Hebrews 9:27. "And is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Man without Christ is condemned already." John 3:18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Compassion is awareness of judgment. People lost. Your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, your grandparents, your neighbors, your friends, they're lost. And compassion is comprehending, is understanding, is the knowledge of judgment. Judgment, awful judgment. Hammon Appleman, the Jewish preacher, was a good friend of mine. Hammon Appleman. I was in Alabama then preaching, and a committee came to see me from Bessemer, Alabama. I said, "Brother Robertson, we plan to have a citywide revival. Do you recommend someone?" I said, "I recommend one man for you, Hyman Appleman." They said, "Will you get him?" I said, "I'll give you his phone number too. You call him yourself." They called him and got him. They hired the biggest city auditorium, in the auditorium, and brought in Hyman Appleman. I went the first night to hear him preach. Anybody here ever heard of Hyman preach? You have. Good. All right. Hyman Appleman. I listened to that Jew preach. I know how he preached. And the crowd was there. Gave an invitation. And the first night, there were 22 people saved. I recall that because I was there. And the next night was a great night. And people got saved again. He just beginning in the 2 weeks revival. That big citywide revival. In that big city of Bessemer on the edge of Birmingham. And on Wednesday, a committee came to see me. They said, "Brother Robertson, we like this fellow Hyman Appleman. He's a great preacher. We don't like his invitation. If you recall, you folks who knew him, he'd have you sit there. If you're not saved, would you raise your hand?" Remember that? And he said, "Now, if you're concerned at all, would you stand to your feet?" Huh? Remember that? And then the next thing, he'd have walked down the aisle. And this committee came to see him and said, "We like Hyman. We don't like the invitation. You go and tell him. Tell him you're his friend. You tell him we don't like the invitation. Now, you tell him yourself." I know that you too well. I wouldn't tell him anything. I said, "You tell him yourself." They said, "Well, do it." They left me and went to the hotel in Bessemer. They walked down in the room, got his room number, walked down the hallway to his room. When they got to the room, they faced the door to go in, the three men to talk to him. They knocked on the door slightly. No response. They cracked the door and listened. Inside, Hyman was praying. They looked in the door and heard him. And they backed out in the hallway and they waited. And they waited and waited. The three men. They said, "As soon as he stopped praying, we'll go and tell him we don't like the invitation." And they waited and waited. After a long time, they said, "Let's go on in there. He's not stopping. We're going to just tell him why we're here. We just break in on him." They walked up and pushed it open. When they did, they thought of Hyman. Not his knees. Watch it. Holding in his hand an old-fashioned overstuffed chair. Remember how hotels used to have that big overstuffed chair? Changing his hand like this over his head. How long have you been doing that? I don't know. They didn't know. And was crying out to God. Perspiration rolling down his face.
tears out of his eyes. Oh, God, save souls. Oh, God, save the people in Bethshear. Oh, God, do a mighty work. And kept on crying. After a long time, they backed out of there. He came back to my house and said, you're right, we're not going to tell him anything. Bethshear, Alabama had its own revival. They never had one since. Never had one before. It's a steel city. And they've never had. Old Hyman prayed and God blessed. Listen to me. Compassion is awareness of judgment. He saw people lost and condemned. He said, I want to see them saved. That brings us back to hell. Luke 16, our blessed Lord Jesus said, the rich man died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. Jesus said that. The rich man died and in hell he lifted up his. Jesus said it. Jesus said, and these shall go into everlasting punishment. Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. The lost condemned going to hell. And we've got to see that. We've got to understand that people lost are going to hell. Your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, your neighbor, your friend, without Christ, lost forever. Without Jesus. One way of salvation. Only one. That's faith in Christ. Only one way. Now don't let anything take that away from you. Don't let pride come in. Don't let formality enter your life. But say, oh God, I want to see people saved. I want to see them born again. Brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to listen to read everything I find about Robert Murray McShane. Remember the Scotch preacher? Died about 31 years of age. Remember? Robert Murray McShane. A little family were touring Scotland and went to his church. And he walked inside and found the caretaker and said, sir, we've heard all the lies about Mr. McShane. We'd like you to tell us about him. Would you tell us something about him? He said, I surely will. He brought him in the building. He said, stand right there, please. They said, he came on the platform. The caretaker, the janitor, he opened up the big Bible. When he got it open, he put his head down the Bible. Began to cry like a baby. Cry like a baby. He said, that's how Mr. McShane preached. And by tears he won Scotland many thousands of the Lord. By tears. Preaching. Compassion. 5 and number 5 and long last. Compassion is a stirring of a Christian to witness. Compassion is a stirring of a Christian to witness. Put on Acts 1:8. That ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And everywhere. Now we need compelling compassion. Driven to it. We've got to have it. We don't do much unless we're driven into it. Don't you folks ever get mad at your preacher. And preacher, don't you ever slow down. You give them the gospel and drive it home. Like it or leave it, give it the same way. And in eternity they'll thank you. And just hammer away. Without Christ, people lost going to hell. With Christ, they're saved. And just keep on saying, keep on giving the truth and pointing them to the Lamb of God. And have a burden for soul like Paul had in Romans 9, 1, 2, and 3. And you had it in Acts 16 when Paul preached in the jail in Philippi. And you have a burden for soul, and compassion is a stirring of the Christian to witness, to tell the story of Jesus and to point people to the loving Savior. What a joy to be a soul winner. What a joy to tell people about the blessed Savior. I'm preaching out in Houston, Texas. In a beautiful, lovely new church. And I stood up to preach and looked out over the audience in the full house. About 3 or 4 rows up in the back sat a man, great big fella, with a cap on his head, a big red cap with a big bill sticking out, sitting there like this. He looked to be a man, weigh about 225 pounds, big fella, and hat on his head. I thought to myself, boy, I don't like that. I think if a man goes to church, he ought to take his hat off. Matter of fact, I think he ought to take his hat off and goes in the house. I think he'll take a hat off when he eats a meal in a dining hall or restaurant. See, I'm against what's going on today. That's silly and asinine. We ought to have some courtesy. And that old boy had a hat on in church, sitting with a big cap on his head. I looked at him again, and I said, that fellow's too big. I better not tackle him. He's too big for me. And I preached the sermon, gave an invitation. Many were saved. While they dealt with the people down in front, I walked back to the back, and there he stood, just like this. Feet stretched out there, and his head up, that big cap on his head. I said, son, are you a Christian? He said, no. I said, do you want to be? He said, I don't know. Well, I said, would you come and let me pray with you? He hesitated a moment. He said, you're not afraid, are you? He said, no, I'm not afraid. I said, come on. And he came with me.
knelt down the front. I dealt with that man, big man. I put the hat, took the cap over his head and threw it away. I read the Word of God to him, prayed with him. He accepted Christ as Savior. That big, rough guy from the streets was saved, beautifully, wonderfully saved. And we closed the service, and I gave the name to the people all around. And all of a sudden, I looked around there, and a big fellow, the captain, been taking off his head to say, born again, walked up on the edge of the platform crying. Crying, he said, I just want to thank you. He said, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. He said, I'm so happy. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, how'd you get here tonight? How'd you get here? He said, right there and pointed. He said, he brought me. Back there near the back of the building where I found this man was standing a little fellow, could not have weighed more than 130, 135 pounds, in a black suit and black tie and white shirt. A little fellow of some years. He said, he brought me. I said, what do you mean he brought me? He said, well, I was standing down in front of the drugstore. He walked by and said, let's go to church. I said, no, I don't believe in church. I don't go to church at all. He said, that little man walked up and took me by hand. He said, you come on. He said, before I knew it, I followed him down the street. He said, I don't know how I even got in here. He said, he gripped my hand and said, come on with me. And I came with him in the building. And thank God I did. I'm saved. My dear friend, compassion is the answer. We've got to have it. You and I, we must have it. We fail without it. Oh, God, give us compassion. Give us compassion. Give us compassion. I went by the town the other day up in West Virginia where I preached. And I remember something. I preached one night in a little church, beautiful little church, new church building. A lady went home from that meeting named Mrs. Dooley, went home, burdened for a husband. And I'd been talking about winning souls and getting people right with God and letting God use you. And she began praying. She prayed. After midnight, he came in. He'd been out drinking and gambling. She stopped him and said, husband, I've been praying for you. I want you to be a Christian. Said, you're lost, you're going to hell. He argued with her, but she said, no, the Bible's true and you're lost. And you see, he said, I'm going to pray for you. And he said, well, I'm going to bed. She said, well, I'm going to pray all night. He said, pray all you want to. I'm going to sleep, get rest. I'm going to work tomorrow. So he went in his room, next to her room, and went to bed. She went praying. She prayed out loud. Really out loud. He couldn't sleep. He said, now you keep me awake. Now quit it. He said, stop it. Oh, you've gone too far. Now you're making me mad. And you stop the praying. He said, no, sir. I'm going to pray for you all night long. I'm going to pray for you all night long. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to pray for you to be saved. And she kept on praying. He went back and tried to sleep and couldn't sleep. So he came back again. He said, now this is going far enough. Then you've got to stop it. He said, I'll go to church tomorrow night one time only, but never again. Will you stop the praying? He said, yes, I'll stop praying out loud. You'll never know it. If you go to church tomorrow night, he said, I promise I'll go. But I don't want to, but I'll do it to stop you from praying out loud. I came to preach the next night at West Virginia Church, beautiful church. I gave an invitation, many were saved. And I said, before we close the invitation, anybody here tonight, you'd like me to pray for you? And a man sitting in a chair next to the aisle on this side, the right side, my right, sitting in a chair, raised his hand, the rest of people standing up. He just sitting down. Put his hand up. I said, sir, you're not a Christian. He said, no. I said, come on, get saved. He said, no. And I said, pastor, go on and sing somewhere. Let me speak to that man. I walked back to him, got on my knees in front of him, sitting in a chair. And the rest of them standing up. I said, sir, you're not a Christian? No. I said, you want to be? He said, well, I'm not sure. I said, wouldn't you like to be sure? Wouldn't you like to know that you're saved and born again? He said, I don't know. I said, listen, sir. What if you had a wreck and you're in your car and in that wreck you're killed? Would you go to heaven or hell? He said, I'd go to hell, wouldn't I? I said, you would. You'd go to hell. I said, if that's what you want, you can have it. I prayed and I left, came back. I no sooner got back to the platform, that fellow came running down the aisle. He'd had a car wreck the day before and hurt his back. That's where he was sitting down. And I didn't know that. And he rushed up to that preacher. I want to get saved now, right now. Pastor, hey, near the front, took his Bible, led the man to the Lord. Mr. Dooley. Oh, what a happy audience. Everybody knew him. You know how to get to know a man. A man knew him by everybody. And they knew the fellow, knew his wife. And he was sitting there, and he stood up there and testified to his faith in Christ and happy as he could be. And the pastor said, God bless you. Let the converts stand up here in the front. Let's shake hands with all of them. I'm going to tell you the whole story. Let's stand up here at the front of you. And they stood up there. And Dooley got up there and stood at the end of the line.
And here's Mr. Dooley, just got saved, dear little wife there crying and happy about it all. And he stood there on the front row, and the priest got on the platform to have the closing prayer and said, come and shake hands. And when he did, Mr. Dooley raised his hand.
I said, excuse me, folks. He said, Brother Dooley, could I help you in some way? He said, yes, if you don't mind. I got saved tonight. I'd like to be baptized. I said, well, Brother Dooley, that's good, but we couldn't baptize you tonight because the baptistry is empty. They had it on one side. You know how they're doing some church on the side, not in the back, but in the side over here, and it was empty. And he said, if that was empty, we couldn't baptize you. Well, he said, I'd sure like to be baptized, but I don't want to say, I just want to go the whole way. I want to do it all. He said, I just want to be baptized tonight. And he said, well, I don't think we can do that. He turned to Usher and said, Usher, how long will it take? He said, well, it takes 2.5 hours to fill a pool. And he said, Mr. Dooley, you wouldn't want to wait. I know, but it takes 2.5 hours to fill a pool. You wouldn't want to wait. He said, oh, yes, I'd be glad to wait. And the priest said, all right. He said, turn the water on. And they turned on the ice water pouring out that mountain stream, you know. And there it came again. I turned the audience and said, well, we'll have the closing prayer. You can go home. Have the closing prayer. You don't have them. They all sit down. Not a one left. I don't think I have one left. They sang songs and they testified for 2.5 hours. I never heard anything like it. After 11:30, the pastor walked up and said, we're ready. He said, go down and tell Brother Dooley to get back. Dooley then sitting there through the whole service. With a hymn book, and didn't know one song or the other, you know. Didn't know one. I had the hymn book there sitting there. That's two of clothes on, and just singing away the best he could with the hymn book. And I walked down and said, Brother Dooley, they're ready for to go back and come change the clothes. He said, I'm ready. And, well, I said, let me take you back this way, if you will. And I led him up the steps on the side. And a few moments went by, and the lit pastor walked in the water. And then Mr. Dooley walked in the water with him. He walked in the water with his suit on. Shoes, socks, ties, and all. He said, I just want to get baptized. Don't care anything about the cold weather, too. And I saw him baptize him at past 11:30, Mr. Dooley. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Came out of the water. Came out of the water, came around and talked to me right down here. Water dripped on the floor, ruined the carpet. Didn't bother him a bit. I finally got him outside in his car with his dear wife. Put him in the car. And he lowered the window of the car, soaking wet. Suit, sut, chakra, all of it just soaking wet. And how happy they could be. And lowered the window of the car, waving his hand at me. And drove down the road. Preacher said, Brother Robinson, I've never had a thing like that to happen in my life. I said, neither have I. He said, let's go to my home next door and read the Bible and have a prayer together before you go back to the motel. I said, all right, sir. I went with him. Went over next door. We sat down in the living room, took his Bible. Began to read some verses and said, we'll read the Bible and pray a little bit. And then you can go down to your motel. And while we're doing that, he came to knock the door. He said, who in the world could that be? It was then way past midnight. Got went to the room and said, Mr. Dooley, at the door, soaking wet. Soaking wet. He said, gentlemen, I got saved tonight. He said, I'm a new creature. I'm a child of God. He said, I want to thank you for it. He said, this is the greatest thing ever happened to me in my life. He's right about that. That's the greatest thing. He started to walk away. He said, I want to thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for everything. He said, thank you, thank you. He went down the hall, down the steps. We stood and watched him. Got to the end of the walk, he turned back. He said, this doesn't mean a thing to you. It does to me. He said, all my life I've been a smoker. I smoked all my life since a kid. I smoke cigars and cigarettes and pipe. I smoke everything. I'm fine. I've been a smoker. He said, the night when I got in the car with my wife to go home, I did what I do all of the time. I pushed it on the lighter. I pulled up my pack of cigarettes and took one out and put it in my mouth. He said, all of a sudden I remembered I was saved. He said, open the window, threw the whole business out the window. He said, that doesn't mean a thing to you, but he said, brother, it does to me. He said, I'm sold out to God. I wish more folks would feel that way. Compassion, compassion, compassion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless tonight. Give us compassion, we pray, for our sinners, lost and undone. Help us to do our best. Heads about eyes are closed. Anyone here tonight to say, Brother Robertson, pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian. Would you please pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Don't be afraid. Put it up and take it down. Put it up and say, yes, I'm like that fellow Dooley. And I'm going to raise my hand. I want you to pray for me. Raise your hand. Put it up if you're lost. Perhaps you're all saved. If so, I'm glad. But if there's someone lost, just slip your hand up. Maybe there's everyone tonight. I'm praying for all of you.
now before we close? Are there some of you here tonight with a real burden for others? You're a burden for your son, for your daughter, for your husband, for your wife, for your mother, for your father who had lost. You're a burden for someone tonight. If you've got a real burden for someone tonight, a real burden for someone, a real burden, would you leave your seat, come here to the front and kneel here at the altar, front bench and front pew. Come on. If you got a burden, if you're really concerned, kneel around the altar. I'm going to pray for them tonight. Pray it now. Oh, God, save them. Save my son. Save my daughter. Save my mother. Save my father. Save my grandparents. Save my next-door neighbors. I want to see people saved. Kneel anywhere you can. Just kneel anywhere you can. Now pray from your heart. Oh, God, save my loved ones. Save my friends. Dear Lord, give me compassion. Help me to love others. Pray it from your heart. Oh, God, we pray tonight that you'll hear the prayers of these people. A great crowd of them, Father, here. You can see them. You know all about them. Now, Father, I'm asking that you'll hear their prayers and save their loved ones. They're praying for them right now. Right now. Now, Father, hear and answer and bless. And guide us. Give us patience. Give us grace. Give us understanding. Give us zeal. Give us love. Give us compassion. Help us to be just what you want us to be. But we're praying tonight that we'll see loved ones and friends come to Christ. We want to see them saved, born again. Now hear these prayers tonight, Father, of all of these friends. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand and face toward me, please? Look up this way. Just for a moment's time. Then we're going home. You're praying for someone. Don't give names. Son, daughter, loved one, friend, but you're praying for someone tonight. Let's just get a little composite and see what it is. You're praying for someone tonight. For whom are you praying? Let's pray for this one. God bless you. We're praying for someone. God bless you. Keep praying. Yes. God bless your dear heart. Yes, sir. Oh, my. I know your burden. I know you are. You're praying for someone. God bless you. Now, I'm not going to point you out, but if you'd like to raise your hand. Yes. Unsaved. Oh, let's pray for you. Let's pray for him, Father-in-law. Anyone else just like to raise your hand? Yes. Your wife. Oh, pray. Amen. Yes. God bless you. Let's pray for them. Yes, sir. God bless you, sir. Anyone else like to raise your hand? God bless you. Pray. Pray to God. Bleed God and pray and send conviction upon him. Yes. Oh, my. God bless you. Pray. 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 Amen. Pray. Yes, sir. God bless you. Pray. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Now, many of you, yes, you're God bless you, ma'am. Yes, back over here. No. Excuse me. Did I miss someone? Yes, over here. Yes, lady. God bless you. Yes, sir. Your family. I know you got burdened hearts. Yes. God bless you, my dad. God answered prayer. But sometimes we don't pray much, do we? And we're a little impatient. Keep on praying. Keep on witnessing. Keep on living it. And let them know what it means. Now, Father, hear these friends. We pray for all who have been mentioned, but for all of them. Bless and save and revive and move upon families and individuals and companies and businesses. May the power of God be felt. Help us to know that you're with us. And one with God is a majority. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And we pray that we'll recognize that and be happy. But be forceful, be patient, be loving, but keep a steady job of praying for others and winning people to Christ. Let us have compassion, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Amen.